Today we will hear a talk on steps 8 and 9, and I'll just review the steps again. 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. And 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or other. Please give a warm welcome to Jeffrey from Vancouver, who will be speaking for us today. Give it up. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you so, so much. My name is Jeff. I'm a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was just thinking, 19 years ago. So my sobriety date is August 16, 2003. So 19 years plus years ago, people would not ask me to speak. People would not ask me to share. People didn't even want to be around me. So it's a great honor and a pleasure just to be here in Vancouver, BC, Canada, via Boston. It's great to be in this group. So I call myself an alcoholic. So in simplicity, so I'm going to probably reference a couple pages out of the big book. It's kind of just what I do. But the only reason why I'm able to do that is because of not just the knowledge, but the experience behind it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this. I used to in my earlier on sobriety, but I had no experience with it, and I just stayed suffering in AA. So what's an alcoholic? So top of page 44 in our big book outlines it. It says, Jeff, if when you honestly want to, you cannot quit entirely. So what does that mean? That means to stay stopped for good, because I tried to stay stopped for good about 2,500 times, like quite a few times. By 2 o'clock that same day, something happened, whether it be something sensitive or not even a cloud on the horizon, I found myself drunk. And then it says, Jeff, if when drinking, you can't control the amount I take. So it looks like this. It looks like a phenomenon of craving or an allergy that the good doctor talks about it. So it's kind of like, hockey game's on tonight. Hey, John, you got to work tomorrow. I got to work tomorrow. Let's just go for one or two or three drinks. That's it. No more than that, because we have obligations. We have a structure in life where we just got to taper it down. So we go. And what happens to me is, I don't have one or two or three. I have 11, 22, 33, about 99.99% of the time. So that's what qualifies to me to be here and to speak, and also via our third tradition, right? We have a desire to stop drinking. So my job today, first of all, I want to thank the Beacon Group for asking me to do this and just to be here, is to talk about step 8 and step 9. But where I also want to go with this is if we go to, it's not necessarily an approved literature, but the 24-hour day book. And it states this on October 2nd. And I'm going to read it. And it says, what makes an effective AA talk in an AA meeting? It's not fine speech with choice words and an impressive delivery. Trust me, that's what I want to do, my ego. It's often quite just a few simple words direct from the heart are more effective than most polished speeches. There's always a temptation to speak beyond our own experience. Can we relate to that, huh? In order to make a good impression. This is never effective. What does not come from the heart does not reach the heart. What comes from personal experience and a sincere desire to help other people reaches the heart. So I ask myself, do I speak for the effect, or do I speak with a deep desire to help? And hopefully it's a deep desire to help. So step 8, I'm just going to jump right into step 8. It says, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So through my lineage, through sponsorship, as we kind of dissected that and found out where is that in the big book, besides in the step 8, besides on page 76 in that short little paragraph that has step 8. So I look at made a list of all persons I had harmed. So if I jump forward to page 82, lines 24 to 33, it says this. It says the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of other people. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel that Jeff is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. He's like the farmer who came up out of his cyclone cellar to find his home in ruin. To his wife, he remarked, don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand? The wind stopped blowing. So the reason why I say that is persons we had harmed. And it says it right here, is hearts are broken, relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted. So made a list of all people we have harmed. That's just an excerpt out of the big book. And then it says became willing. And if we jump over to page 76, lines 2 to 8, it says we have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God, help us to be willing. So that comes from our sixth step. You know, it also states in 76 further down the page, it says, if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any length for victory over alcohol. And in the third part of step 8, the cliff note, it says to make amends. So what is amends? Amends, to remove or correct faults in, to rectify, to grow or become better by reforming oneself. So to make amends to them all. Page 77 says, but Jeff is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than our talk, Jeff's talk of spiritual discoveries. And it also says, under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell them that we'll never get over drinking until we have done the utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do, the other people. So his faults, the other person's faults, are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner, so this is like God's ideal, is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. So it also says that this list comes from our four-step inventory, which we have written in the previous steps. And it can also be from not our inventory, you know, where there isn't a resentment behind it sort of thing. So there's step 8. So with step 8, for me, I'm going to give two examples on this list. So step 8 is not step 9. There's so many times when I sponsor people, and from me being a sponsee, where I look at step 8 and immediately go into step 9, and what happens? All these defects arise, especially fear. Oh, I don't want to make that amends to that person. You know, I'm already jumping into step 9. So right now we are in step 8. It's simple. It's just a list. Let's not go into step 9 until we go into step 9, which means the list is complete. So how does this, the way it was taught to me, what does this list look like? And it looks like amends that I'm able to do right now, amends that I'm able to do in the near future, and amends that I just don't want to do. And I had quite a few in every single one of those ways. And the reason why it was shown to me that way is not through my sponsor's experience. I think Joe and Charlie talk about it too that way, one of them, is that the ones I can do now makes it easier to get to the harder ones. And when I get to the harder ones I'm going to do later, it makes it a lot easier to get to the ones that I'm never going to do. So in that list, I'm going to just talk about two of them, was blacktop cabs, so cab drivers. And the reason why I needed to make amends to them, because I have been in a drunken blur where I kind of forgot to pay the cab driver, you know, jumping out of the car, running over, jumping over bushes and trying to get away, not paying the cab. So it's a financial amends. I need to do this. So I put down cabs. Another amends is to my father. The things that I put my father through and while I was drinking are pretty insane. They're pretty aggressive. They're not pleasant whatsoever. My dad, December 1st, 99, passed away from cancer, and I'm full-blown alcoholic. I am now downtown east side of Vancouver, homeless, 100 pounds soaking wet. And a month before my dad passed away, I ended up at my mom and dad's house, and there's my dad's wallet sitting on the table. And I went through his wallet and grabbed enough money to provide my drinking. And I turned around after I put his wallet down, and there he was, looking at me. 30 days before he passed away, tears streaming down his face. And he said these words to me. He goes, Jeff, why are you doing this? How can you be doing this? what happened to me is I didn't know how to handle that situation. I just looked at him and I took off and I burned my life down to the ground. It was guilt, remorse, and more reflection that I just could not deal with. I couldn't. Every time I saw my mom, my beautiful mom, or my two brothers, my dad would enter my mind. And I just was, I couldn't even be in my own skin. You know what I mean? So that, besides stealing the son from him, you know, that was the main one, but there's so many other ones with my father. So I'm like, I know I have to make amends to my dad somehow. I don't know how, right? So there's just the two that are on the list. So now I'm going to go into step 9. So step 9 says, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so and injure them or others. Let's dissect that from our big book. Made direct amends to. Page 76 says, now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. I'm going to pause there. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it's done. So what I do is I use the entirely ready in our 6th step with the humbleness in our 7th step to get to that spot. And then back to made direct amends on that same page. It says, remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths over victory over alcohol, right? To such people wherever possible. Where is this coming from? Besides page 59 of our big book, our cliff notes. On page 76, again, 76, wow, what a powerful page. Line 17 to 19, it says, we have a list of people we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. So in regards to that, it says we must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided we do not bring still about more harm in doing so. And that's on page 69. And it says we also made it when we took inventory. So once again, the 4-step inventory, especially the harms, our conduct relationship inventory, we call it the sex inventory, plus there may be harms done where there is no resentment. And then to the last part of step 9 from the clip notes, it says, except when to do so would injure them or others. Page 80, lines 1-5. This is so, so important. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, ask God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. So let's dissect that. So my go-to through what my sponsor, the sensitive Marty J, said is with these amends, I go to God. So I ask God for help. And the second part is consult with the sponsor. So now I'm going to Marty, going to my sponsor. Let's look at this. How should the wording be? You know, because I'm so selfish and self-centered, page 62, and full of fear that I'm going to like try to make these amends where it might make me look good or I might leave things out. You know, so now I go to my sponsor and say, let's do this with the help of asking from this power that I found deep down within page 55. We're going to get this. It's almost like an itinerary, almost like a sheet where I've write down, this is what I'm going to say, this is what I'm going to do sort of thing, right? And the third part is to obtain permission. Wow. How many times have I put myself to go make amends and it backfired because the person didn't know what was going on? To obtain permission. So it looks like this. I phone someone up, let them know who and what I am, even though they do, the reason why I'm doing it. And is it okay if we set, if you have time and if you're willing to set aside X amount of time on this day where me and you can meet up, I have something I want to talk to you about. Get their permission, because if they say yes, perfect, move forward. If they say no, we need to respect that. Respect it and say no, because they're maybe don't want anything to do with me anymore or whatever it is, right? So ask God, consult with Marty, and obtain permission. And the reason why is because my real purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and to the people about us. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Page 79 now switches. It switches, if anyone's ever noticed, the willingness to go to any length over alcohol. It says we have now decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience. Right. So step eight and nine, it's not just a list, but it is just a list. It's about how we provide and go about doing this list. And for me, it was those three ways: now, soon, never. And step nine isn't just about saying I'm sorry. It isn't just about making amends. I got to look at, am I going to harm someone? Am I going to bring in an outsider by making this amends that this person is going to be harmed? You know what I mean? And it's only about my side of the street. It's not about, I'm not sitting there after I make my amends and say, all right, you now you need to forgive me, because that may not be the case. It may not be. So if we go back to the list, Jeff's list, the cab driver, I'm sitting there going, Mark, how am I going to make amends to this? And he said, you know, well, let's ask God for help. So I went there, right? And God said, well, you have to pay him back. So I phoned him up, 1-800-CABS, whatever it is. And I phoned him up and I said, hey, my name's Jeff. I'm a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. 15 years ago, I ran away from three or five cabs, probably told him about $250, $25 a piece. I'd like to pay you back. Can I go to your office and drop off $250 for people that come back from the shift where someone did exactly the same thing I did? And this is what their response was. If you leave that money here, within 5 minutes, it's going to be gone and we don't know where it is. I'm like, okay, well, how else can I switch this up? What can I do? And this is what happened. The very next day, I took my beautiful family camping. Now, I had that. So we dropped off the RV at a campsite. It's a little bit secluded. Okay. And I had to go to work. So I got back in my car and I went to work. And at the beginning of this entrance of this campsite, guess who pulled in? A cab driver. Have you ever seen a cab driver pull into a campsite? Maybe while we're drinking, because crazy things happen while we drink. And there are two people in the back. So I stopped him. I cut the road off and I stopped him. And he rolled his window down. And I said, sir, there's something I'd like to give to you. And I gave him $25. I said, this isn't for the people in the back. This is for you. I just want to thank you for your service and enjoy your day. And I did that. I don't know how many times, 10 times, not at a campsite. But when I'm walking down the street, a cab's sitting there in the cab parking lot, I'd ask them to roll the window down, and I'd do exactly the same thing until the $250 estimated was done, was given back. And the great thing about that is I no longer have anxious fear about getting to a cab, or that memory, you know, you look like the guy I ran from 15 years ago, you know, and I didn't pay my bill. So there's freedom. There's freedom in that, like our ninth step promises. Now, here's the heavy hitter for me about my dad. My dad. Oh my God. In his healthy days, he was about 6'3", 250 pounds, a solid Swedish Viking of a man, tall and handsome. And this guy was my rock. He was solid. And the things that I did, and that instance that I told you about, stealing from him while he was pretty much on his deathbed and getting caught and running from him. His nickname growing up and throughout his adult years from his siblings and from his friends was Hoagie. Hoagie is his nickname, right? How am I going to make amends to him? It took three times. The first time was in a treatment center when I first sobered up. And I wrote it down. Sorry for this. Sorry for that. Please ask for my forgiveness. And then I threw it away. I got a little bit of relief. A little bit of relief. Christmas time, I went to Christmas to see my mom and my brothers, and it came back. Worry, remorse, more reflection. It wasn't gone. It wasn't gone. It gave me instant gratification, almost like that sense of ease and comfort that comes out once when we first write a letter. You know, that sort of thing, right? So more had to be revealed. More had to be done. So I ended up relapsing 3 months later because I didn't quite get step one. I didn't understand that the first step promises that you're going to drink again if you don't do all 12 steps as best you can with a sponsor, et cetera, et cetera, and stop resting on your laurels and continue with the disciplines of 10 and 11. I missed all that. So I relapsed. I came back. Dad was on the list, on my four step again, on the eight step list again. I needed to make amends. So I changed it up this time. I talked about it in my fifth step and I wrote another letter. This one a little bit more deep and a little bit more meaningful. And then like I did a little Jeffrey ceremonial sacrificial fire burning of the letter sort of thing. Sense of ease and comfort came at once after that was done and completed. Talked to my mom and brothers on the phone, and instantly it came right back again. Worry, remorse, and more reflection. Until one day, and I'm suffering in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, about 7 or 8 years sober, a man came up to me and saw that I was suffering, and he said, "Jeff, are you willing to come to my house on a Monday night and bring your big book and allow me to take you through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous?" And this was the very first time I went through all 12 at this way, sitting across the table from this man named Charles, and we went through all 12 steps. I had a spiritual awakening. But when it came to steps 4 and 5, when it came to step 8 and 9, my dad was still there. I had to switch it up. So what I used was the power in our third step, that decision. That decision where, "Jeff, when you run your life, it won't be a success, the requirement." And that decision to turn everything over, my thoughts, my actions, my will, my life over to God. I brought that into the sixth step, and I used the sixth step to make an itinerary of the ninth step around my dad. And this is what came up for me. Was, how am I going to do this? Okay. It says to make direct amends. My dad's relative truth, his body has formed, is not here. He's in the spirit realm. It's been 8 years or so. And this voice in my brain came up to me and said, "Phone your mom." Wow. Phone my mom. So I phoned my mom and I asked permission. I said, "Mom, there's something I really need to talk to you about." So I might start getting a little weepy here. So I'm just going to say, "Hey, Matthew, you can be my Tito. So get me some tissues if I start crying." I asked my mom for permission. She knew exactly what it was. She only wants the best for me, right? So I made a date and a time with my mom, and it doesn't stop there. When my dad was dying from cancer, he had this super long pillow that helped his back when he was sitting up, right? Because he was so frail from that disease. This pillow has signatures of a bunch of kids' names that they sewed onto this. Their actual signature was sewn on by a mom that it was from a daycare. My dad just loved these kids, and he carried this pillow along with him wherever he went. So I went to my mom's house. I grabbed that pillow. And then more came to me from this power. My dad built a pool when me and my two brothers were really young in our backyard. And I remember waking up every Sunday morning. I knew where he was. He was had a coffee in his hand, and he was vacuuming that pool. And he had a big smile on his face. It wasn't that he was loving vacuuming the pool, but I knew that he was loving taking care of this pool for his boys and the neighborhood kids. So I grabbed my mom. I grabbed the pillow, and we sat down at the pool on this pillow and put our feet into the water. And I said to my mom, direct amends to my dad through my mom, eyes to eyes with my mom. And I let her know everything that I did. And it didn't stop there, because I'm now placed with my mom where I did exactly the same things to her I did with my dad. And I got to tackle the amends to my mom and the amends to my dad at a deep level that had nothing to do with Jeff's consciousness. It came from a power deep down within. And the reason why I really love this story, a week later, I'm at home. This beautiful house me and my wife bought, who's on here. Babe, I love you so much. I'm sitting in the living room and not asleep, but not awake. I'm on the couch and my doorbell rang. This is a 2008, 2009. I get up and I answer the door. Guess who's at the door? Hoagie. My dad. What? How is that possible? He walked inside that house looking like that 6'3", 250-pound Swedish Viking king of a dad. And he looked at me and he said, "Son, I just want to see how you're doing." And he looked around, small talk conversation. I didn't really say too much. And he looked at me and he said, "I'm proud of you. There's things I have to do. I have to go now." And he walked himself out the house and shut the door. And I found myself standing in the middle of that living room, When that doorbell rang, I was on the couch, standing up in the middle of that living room. So you want to call this a dream? You want to call this a vision? I don't know what it was, but it happened. You know, whether he wasn't really there, but his spirit came in. This tells me that that 8-step and 9-step through the 3rd step, through the 6th step, through the 7th step, practicing these principles, bringing in the 10th step into that, because when these crop up, the promises of the 9th step happened. So if we look at the promises of the 9th step, hey, let's go to page 52 of the big book. It talks about the bedevilments. Jeff, around my dad, was having trouble with personal relationships. Check, yes. Okay, Jeff, can you control your emotional nature? Well, every time I saw my mom, thought of my dad, I looked at my brothers. No, I couldn't. Jeff, are you a prey to misery and depression around this, what you did to with your dad? Yes, of course it was. Jeff, could you make a living? Not financially, I'm not talking about that. I mean, live around that? No, you know? Jeff, did you have a feeling of uselessness? Of course, I was not a son or a friend. Jeff, were you full of fear? Yes. Jeff, were you unhappy? Oh, I was in major depression over it. Jeff, could you be of real help to your mom and your brothers? No, not even to myself. This living room, Jeff, I just want to say I'm proud of you. Instance, this mom pillow pool amends. Let's look at the 9-step promises. Jeff lost interest in selfish things and gained interest in his fellows. His self-seeking slipped away. Jeff comprehended the word serenity, and I knew peace around my dad. You know, Jeff's whole attitude and outlook upon life changed. Fear of people and economic insecurity left me. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity disappeared. Jeff will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Intuitively, via step 3, step 6, step 7, by this power. Jeff was going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Trust me, when I look at my dad right now, I picture him and all I see is smiles. All I see is father, son. All I see is grace. No matter how far down Jeff went down the scale, he will now see how this experience can benefit others. How do you make amends to someone who's in the spirit realm, who's not here in relative truth, has form? The absolute truth. I have experience behind it. I will not regret the past. Do I regret the past? No. Did it happen? Yes. Am I sitting in the 4 horsemen? Worry, remorse, more of a reflection? No. Am I sitting in love? Yes. Jeff will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Trust me, I tried to do it with myself and it didn't work. Like I told you people, right? And it doesn't stop there around Hoagie. It doesn't stop. He keeps happening. Mr. Marty J, my sponsor, his name is Dwayne, sobered up in the 50s. He passed away at about 54 years of sobriety. He passed away a couple years ago, and I went to God. And I went to God, and I'm in my office where I'm at right now. Right, God, okay, a friend of mine just passed away. Marty is going to, he's suffering a loss. There'll be mourning. Please help him. Show me how you would have me be, to be there for him, sort of thing. Right. And then I went to my dad. You know why I went to my dad? It's because I had an actual dream where my dad was in the dream. And I went to the hospital. I see it a minute and a half left. I'm standing there with my family and I levitated over this emergency room drape where I looked over it and there was this elderly lady dying from natural causes. Okay. And right beside her was my dad holding her hand. I could see through him and I could watch her taking her breath. And then she stopped breathing. She took her last breath. My dad looked up at me and he disappeared and she passed away in grace. That's what my dad is doing today. He's helping people move on. You know what I mean? So that's why I went to my dad when Shrek, Dwayne, passed away. I said, Dad, I know what you're doing. Be there for Dwayne when you see him, grab his hand and go have a coffee. And I stopped my prayer And then instantly this thought came to me and said, go get some Starbucks. It's down the road, Jeff. Go get some Starbucks now. I got into my truck. I drove out of the parking lot and I got cut off by a white car. Cut off. I stopped and I looked at this white car and the license plate stood out. And guess what the license plate was? H-O-G-I-E. I did a talk in Portland, Oregon earlier this year in February with my beautiful, amazing wife came and showed up with me there. And we did a talk and one of our kids has a peanut, fish, and tree nut allergy. So there's certain things we can't eat here, but we're on doing an AA convention down there. And we decided to go eat some food that we're allowed to eat. I'm going to end it here. We're driving and the navigation was recalculating. I just missed a turn off. My wife goes, no, you didn't, Jeff. Look at what the street sign says. Right, babe? It said Hoagie. I wasn't going in the wrong direction. With you people, with AA, and with this power, this design for living, we're never going to go in the wrong direction. The eighth step is a list. The ninth step is amends. It's not just a simple list, and it's not just a simple I'm sorry. If there's anything I missed, please let me know, because I want to right these wrongs. Thank you.